grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 8 of the Gospel of John is a chapter of controversy. Jesus is teaching in the temple, and he is surrounded by his disciples and a greater crowd of the people who come daily to worship at the temple, plus that his enemies and unbelieving leaders of the people, they are also there listening carefully to what he is saying, trying to find some way to trip him up, some way to undermine his work. And so, our gospel lesson begins in the middle of this. Now, just prior, he said this, just prior to our gospel lesson, he said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you are not able to hear my word." Why are they unable to hear the word of God? Because they are in an unconverted state. That is, they are unbelievers, and therefore the word of God is opaque to them. They don't get it. This is the way it is in the world today, especially when unbelievers in the public sphere fool around with the word of God for their political purposes. If it wasn't so sad, it would be amusing to see how they utterly misunderstand the word of the living God. But they will use anything that they can to achieve their purposes. So he says, the reason why you don't understand my speech is because you're not able to hear my word. Why is this? He goes on, he says, "You are of your father the devil." Whoa. "And the lusts of your father ye will do." He says, you belong to the devil and you want to do what the devil desires to have done. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he did not abide in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He's speaking his own native language. For he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil is a liar and he is the father of lies. He did not abide in the truth. He is a murderer from the beginning. And this is who you are following after. You are not doing the works of children of God. You are doing the works of children of the devil. And because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. And now we come to our gospel lesson. He says, "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God," that is, he who is a believer, he who has been converted, who has been born again to a new and living hope, "he that is of God heareth God's words." This is the chief characteristic of the children of God. Those who are of God love God's word and hear God's word as God's word. "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." And so you see there's this dichotomy here between the children of God and those who are not the children of God. And this is an important distinction to make in the world. Otherwise, you're living in a lie, and you are ever misunderstanding What message is being aimed at what group of people? He that is of God hears God's word. You hear them not because you are not of God. They are offended by this, of course, triggered, if you will. And they answered, weren't we right to say that you are a Samaritan? The S word, right? Weren't we right to say that you are Samaritan and you have a devil? Jesus answers dismissively. He says, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. How does he honor his Father? By speaking the truth which he heard from his Father and was given by his Father to speak to the world. He honors his Father by speaking the truth and by doing the signs and miracles that the Father has given him to do. I am honoring my Father, and you are dishonoring me. Which by implication means, if you dishonor the Son, Jesus Christ, you are dishonoring the Father. Right? You cannot drive a wedge between God the Father and God the Son. To seek to honor one and not the other is an absurdity. Right? The Son is sent into the world to do the Father's will. When the Son is honored, the Father is honored. When the Son is dishonored, the Father is dishonored. He says, I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. So he says, I'm not doing this for my own glory. I'm not looking for plaudits and praise of men. There is one who is seeking my glory and who judges those who do not acknowledge it. And that's God the Father. God the Father seeks the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. And God the Father judges those who will not glorify the Son. Verily I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, this almost seems like it's out of place. But what he's doing is he is endeavoring to explain to these people whose hearts are so hard. But remember, there are other people mixed in with the crowds who are hungry for the word of God. And so he is teaching both groups at the same time. He is engaging in theological controversy with his opponents and enemies. And at the same time, he is endeavoring to strengthen the faith of those who have come to him and believed in him. And so here he is saying, over the heads, if you will, of those who oppose him and call him a devil, he says, if a man keep my saying, and that is a man believes my words and holds on to them despite everything, that person shall never see death. What does that mean? It means the same thing that Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, that is, shall not be damned eternally, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So in John chapter 3, Jesus draws a contrast between perishing in unbelief and receiving eternal life in faith. He's saying the same thing here. When he says, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. What he means is, a person who keeps my word will never perish everlastingly, but will have life everlasting in the kingdom of glory. That's what he's saying. They, of course, the enemies of Jesus, willfully, as they always do, they willfully misinterpret him. He says, after he says, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death, then said the Jews unto him, now we know you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. How do they misinterpret him? They misinterpret his statement about damnation versus eternal life. And they claim that what he's saying is, you'll never go through physical death if you believe in me, right? And that is a willful misinterpretation of what Jesus said. And it really only is a matter of one word. That's why you have to be so careful when listening to people teach and preach, because a false teacher can utterly misconstrue something with the omission or addition of one word. Jesus said, a man shall never see death. Here they say, a man shall never taste of death. And the difference in meaning is palpable. Jesus means you will not perish eternally, but you will have eternal life. But they take it to mean, if you believe in him, you'll never die physically. All right? And art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? All right, so they are hopping mad now, hopping mad. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. You claim that he's your God, that you worship him, all right? He is the one who honors me. How does the Father honor the Son? The Father honors the Son by the miracles which Jesus is given by his Father to do. That's number one. And by the gospel that Jesus is given to preach and to teach. And with these things which encompass the public ministry of the life of Jesus, the Father is honoring his Son with these miracles and with these teachings of the gospel. He says, it is my Father who honors me. You claim that he is your God, but you have not known him. I know him. And if I should say, I don't know him, I would be a liar like you. Remember what he said earlier? You are of your father, the devil. He did not abide in the truth. He is the father of lies. When he speaks a lie, he's speaking his own native language. So he says, if I said I didn't know him, I'd be a liar like you. But I know him and I keep his sayings. You get the point here that to know and believe Jesus is to be in contact with God. To not have Jesus and to not be together in faith with Jesus is to be alienated from God. There is one access point to God, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. And to be united with Christ in faith is to conquer death. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So now, Jesus has these guys really upset. And what better thing to do than what he does? He says to these chagrined persons, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Right now, again, what is Jesus saying here? You know, this kind of goes by if you're not in the Word of God, and if you're not understanding what Jesus is referring to. Jesus is referring to the numerous times in the life of Abraham when God appeared to him and gave him the promise of the coming of the Messiah. And so over and over again in John chapter 12, verse 3, in Genesis 12, verse 3, in Genesis 17, 15, in Genesis 18, 9, in Genesis 21, 6, in Genesis 22, 13, over and over again, remember the account of the testing of Abraham, take your only son whom you love and offer him up on the mountain? And when Abraham is about to plunge the knife into Isaac, the angel of the Lord stops him, and Abraham looks, and there's a ram caught in a thicket, and he takes the ram in the stead of his son, and he offers it up in the stead of his son, and he names the place Jehovah Jireh, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. What shall be seen? The coming of the Messiah and his once for all sacrifice for the salvation of the world. So when Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, he saw it and was glad, he was talking about the rejoicing that father Abraham engaged in as God gave him the promise of the redemption of the world in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? So they are like, oh, you've got to be a kook. You've got to be crazy that you're a young man. You've seen Abraham? Jesus said unto him, and here's the punchline of the whole passage, all right? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, and verily, verily, that's the sign that Jesus is saying something now that he wants you to especially pay attention to. The verily, verily, I say, that's Jesus' way of saying, if you have been not paying attention up to this point, pay attention right now, all right? He says, before Abraham was, I am, all right? What is Jesus saying here? He says, the reason why I've seen Abraham is because I am Almighty God. I am Jehovah revealed in human flesh. I am the incarnate Son of the living God. I have been with my Father from all eternity. I have been with the children of Israel throughout all their history. And I am here now in fulfillment of the plan of redemption for the world of sinners. The reason why I've seen Abraham is because I was the one there speaking with Abraham and telling him, in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. How would they be blessed? They would be blessed in my incarnation, my deeds, my saving work, the redemption which I will once and for all offer, so that they may not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you might be tempted to think, okay, Pastor, you may be going overboard a little bit here with what you're saying that Jesus means by this. Maybe he didn't mean quite so much, right? Well, the Jews understood him perfectly well. They took up stones to cast at him, right? They knew what he was saying about himself. The words, I am. Remember the burning bush? Moses, let us turn aside and see this great thing, why this bush, it burns, yet it's not burned up. Put off your shoes from off your feet. The ground where you're standing is holy ground, God said. And then God revealed his name. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. What shall I say is your name when the children of Israel ask me? I am that I am. Tell the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto thee. And that is what is behind that grammatical construction, is what's behind the name Jehovah. I am that I am. Tell the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So the Jews here knew that Jesus was claiming to be Almighty God. And they, of course, in their unbelief, they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus slipped out of their grasp. So, here's the deal. There is a word of God, and that word of God is centered in Jesus. And God the Father glorifies Jesus by means of the gospel and the miracles that he was given to do. We have manifold promises. The chief promise in this passage for us is, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That is, if a man believe my words and hold to my words, he will not perish everlastingly, but he will have everlasting life. This is a great and precious promise that we hold on to. And Jesus has secured this for us in his death and in his resurrection from the dead on the third day. You can imagine how excited the disciples were on that Easter evening when Jesus appeared to them, and everything that he had ever said, which for the past 2 days they had doubted, everything that he had ever said to them went running through their minds as they're looking square in his face and touching him. And they're going, he's not a ghost, he's not a spirit, it's really him. And they're saying, remember when he said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death? And then he died an ignominious death, like crucifixion, and now he's alive forevermore? You see what it means? That in Jesus Christ, in his death and in his resurrection, the whole world has changed. And those who believe in him, they see that this is a new situation, the situation of everlasting grace through Jesus Christ from God the Father. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.